It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Friday morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. Corporate earnings, layoffs, currency hits, credit crunch, all forming the specter of global recession. Wall Street is headed for a dive. Dow futures were down 550 points before the bell. That's the maximum drop allowed. Trading has been stopped. Trading in stock index futures won't begin again until the market opens. This follows yet another dramatic sell-off in Asia and Europe. Big foreign companies warned of lower earnings. Japan's Nikkei fell more than 9%. South Korea's index is on track to lose 50% of its value this year. Major European markets are down 8 to 9%, although they had been even lower earlier. Oil-dependent countries are quaking as the price of a barrel of crude drops and drops. This morning, OPEC oil ministers meeting in Vienna agreed on a big production cut, 1.5 million barrels a day beginning next month. And oil is still trading around $63 a barrel this morning, compared to $147 this summer. That might sound great as you watch the price of gas fall below $3, but as Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, as oil goes, so goes renewable energy.
The global credit crunch has already stalled some renewable energy projects, and the falling price of oil and gas undercuts the incentive to start these projects in the first place. Kevin Book at FBR Capital Markets says take natural gas prices. They have to get pretty high for, say, wind power to look affordable.
You have to get up into the $9 to $10 range just to make a wind project with the federal subsidy work.
This week, natural gas prices ran below $7 per thousand cubic feet. Falling energy prices can also dull the public's sense of urgency about cutting their own energy consumption. But Ethan Zindler at New Energy Finance foresees a new frugality.
I'm dubious that a drop in the gasoline price, even by a dollar, is going to convince Americans to truly return to carefree spending ways.
Long-term analysts predict oil prices will head back higher anyway, making renewables more attractive again. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
One of the most oil-dependent economies is in Russia. Today, Russian stock exchanges suspended trading in order to halt another huge sell-off. The Russian stock market has dropped some 70% since the credit crisis hit. The ruble is at a new low against major currencies. As Megan Williams reports, Russia is trying hard to prop it up.
The Russian central bank is buying up rubles like there's no tomorrow. Everyone else, though, is rushing to cash them in for dollars and euros, and that's driving the ruble down. The credit crisis pushed Russian industry to sell off assets and beg for bailouts. Now, with the price of oil and gas plummeting, Russia's once bulging budget could be heading for a deficit. Half the country's income is from oil, and production is dropping along with price. Russia has $500 billion in cash reserves. But as the rush away from the ruble picks up, even that may not be enough to keep its currency steady. For Prime Minister Putin, whose power has been propped up by high oil prices, that's not good news. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Okay, we have been telling you for weeks how the economy is sliding, but what to do about it? Today we launch an occasional series that looks at solutions. It's called What's the Fix? I asked economist James Galbraith for his fix. He told me the federal government should be spreading money out to the states.
We need steps that will stabilize the underlying economy. It's going to be necessary to support state and local governments whose revenue bases are deteriorating very rapidly because of the fall in property tax revenues particularly, and then also the decline in economic activity. To help them maintain services, maintain employment would be a very important way to stabilize the overall economy.
FDIC Chair Sheila Bair has proposed that the government back some mortgage loans to prevent more foreclosures. What do you think of that?
I think it's a very constructive idea. It sets up an incentive for loan servicers to renegotiate the terms of the loans, to turn these unsustainable, toxic loans that should never have been made into something which has a better chance of keeping the homeowner in the home and keeping the home, you know, in reasonable repair.
So it's worth helping lenders and consumers who made bad decisions, bad loans?
In a situation like this, you have to help consumers first and foremost. If you have to help lenders to some degree to get the result you want, I'm not opposed to that.
You have proposed that the federal government help states invest in infrastructure. What are you imagining?
As credit markets have frozen up, states and localities have much greater difficulty financing public capital expenditure just at a time when the resources in construction are available because the housing sector is in a slump. So we ought to be taking advantage of the borrowing power of the federal government to pass funds to states and localities to rebuild an infrastructure which has been neglected for over 30 years.
What would all this deficit spending do to our long-term health?
It would improve our long-term health. When the private sector is not able to take out loans and to have an expanding credit-based private economy, then the public sector must. If neither does, then you have a Great Depression. That's the disaster you want to avoid.
James Galbraith is a professor at the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas at Austin. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
As part of our coverage of the fallout from this crisis, we have some great videos online, explainers of what's behind these troubles. So take a look at marketplace.org. Dow futures are pointing sharply lower. The Dow will open at 8,691. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.